This morning I want us to think together about a mother's heart. And the reason that I want us to consider a mother's heart is because Scripture suggests that God reveals Himself to us in a number of ways, and in one way in particular that He reveals His love to us is by helping us to see it in a mother's love. Scripture suggests that God uses the concept, the idea, the perfection of a mother's kind of love to help us understand the love that He has for us. And so I want us to start this morning as we look at a mother's heart. In Isaiah chapter 66, he says, as a mother comforts her child, or comforts if you want, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Israel. As he uses mom as an example, if you will, as an illustration of the kind of love that he has for us. Well, because he uses that as such a rich illustration, I want us this morning to look at what that kind of love is so that we can get a better understanding of his love for us. To help us with that, we're going to look together in Matthew. If you have your copy of Scripture with you, join me in Matthew chapter 15. We're going to look at a story that begins in verse 21. In Matthew chapter 15, beginning at verse 21. And as we begin, let me confess to you that Mother's Day is always a bit of a challenge for a preacher. Because I know that many of us were blessed with good, godly, Christian mothers. Many of us are able to see today as a day of celebrating the way God took care of us through our mothers. But I also know that today is difficult for many. Not everyone had that kind of mom. I understand. It's difficult for many because it reminds us that mom has already passed away. And that makes today difficult. It's difficult for many because they want to be mom. And that hasn't happened yet. And I understand that. Believe it or not, I understand that perhaps more than many pastors. I understand that today is not always a great celebration for everyone. But I also understand that Mother's Day is usually the third largest attendance in church. Did you know that? In our church, it's Easter, Christmas Eve, Mother's Day. And most of the folks who come on Mother's Day are coming to be with mom or to celebrate mom in some special way. And so the challenge for the pastor is to celebrate mom and at the same time recognize in a sensitive way that today can be a challenge. It can be difficult. So today, my goal is not to hurt anyone or to make anyone uncomfortable as we celebrate motherhood. I want to make sure that we understand the reason that we're going to look at the ideal mother love is because that helps us understand God's love. Isaiah made it clear, just like a mom comforts a baby, I'll comfort you. So today is Mother's Day, yes, but today is also the Lord's Day. So as we celebrate motherhood, let's do it as a way of celebrating God's love for us, remembering that that is the most important thing. Matthew chapter 15, beginning at verse 21. Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman came out from that region and began to cry out, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." And he did not answer her a word, and his disciples came to him and kept asking him, saying, "Send her away, for she is shouting out after us." But he answered and said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, your faith is great. Be it done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed at once. As we begin to look together this morning at a mother's heart, we're introduced to a Canaanite woman. Now, the Canaanites were not respected by the Jews. As a matter of fact, they were somewhat despised. But this mother's heart was for her daughter. And so she was willing to go to someone that she thought would despise her because she saw it as her only hope for her daughter. So one of the things that we see this morning is that a mother's heart is caring. A mother's heart is caring. In the face of being despised, she takes a great risk that she will be ridiculed, that she'll be rejected. She takes a great risk of stepping into a conversation that is not comfortable by any means, because she greatly cares for her daughter. Her daughter is suffering, and so she suffers as well. Did you notice when in the story she says in verse 22, "Behold, a Canaanite woman came out, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed.'" She says, "Have mercy on me." She is hurting. Why? Because her daughter is hurting. How many of you have been there? There may not be a greater pain than the pain that a parent feels when their little one is in pain. It's a compassion that reaches into empathy, where we feel what another is feeling. It's a part of parenting, isn't it? It's part of parenthood. We hurt because they hurt. And here she says, "Have mercy on me, because my daughter is hurting." You ever heard somebody talk about somebody else and say, "He has a face that only a mother could love"? You ever hear that? I've heard that all my life, folks talk about it. Y'all just been lucky if you hadn't heard that. A face that only a mother could love. What does that mean? It means that there's a special kind of mother love. Everybody else in the world know he ugly. But he got a face that mama can still love. Why? Because there's a special mama love. Today on Mother's Day, we celebrate mother's love. But remember, the reason that we celebrate mother's love is because it gives us just an image, just a little bit of an understanding of God's greater love for us. A mother's heart is caring. Even as we saw in the scripture earlier that I quoted, that God has designed the heart of a mom to closely resemble his own care and compassion, so that when we look at a mother's love, it helps us understand his love. We see it again in Isaiah. In Isaiah 49, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born?" The way the question is worded implies a clear answer. It implies, you know, we would say, no way could a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born. And then he follows that up and says, yeah, but even if she did, I will not forget you. In other words, you look at the great love of a mother. You look at that great mother's heart that is so caring and understand that even it is fallible. God's love for us expands so far beyond even a mother's love. The caring heart of a mother helps us get an idea of just how much God must care for us as well. But not only is a mother's heart caring, a mother's heart is discerning. A mother's heart is discerning. Look at verse 22 again. The woman came out from that region, began to cry, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." Why? "My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." She had the opportunity, she had the ability to recognize what the real problem was. You know, it's really easy for us to blame problems on the wrong source. How easy it would have been for her to say, "My daughter is just a bad kid. She won't shut up. She won't behave. She won't sit still. She won't quit biting her brother. She's just a bad kid." But this mother had discernment. She knew there was a deeper issue involved, something else that was going on. I think perhaps that is one of the great challenges of parenting, to not just look at the surface behavior and come down hard on that behavior, but to figure out, to discern, what's the root cause of that behavior? Why is the child behaving the way she's behaving? What's behind that? That's not easy to do. A mother's heart is discerning, seeking to understand the child. In this mother's case, she understood something that Paul taught years later. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. This mother understood it before it was scripture, that her struggle was not against the flesh and blood daughter, but there was something deeper, something else going on. There's a spiritual issue involved. I know it's easy to blame the child, but the first and best route to take is prayer for help to find the root cause of the problems. A mother's heart is discerning. Then we notice that a mother's heart is helpful. A mother's heart is helpful. Notice that this mom expends all kinds of effort to help her daughter with this problem. Look in verse 25. It says, "She came and began to bow down before him, saying, 'Lord, help me.'" Notice it says, it didn't say that she came and bowed down. It says she came and began to bow down. And the way that is actually worded means that she started it and continued it. She just continued to bow down and continued to plead and continued to beg. She was doing all she could do to get help for her daughter. A mother's heart is helpful. We continue to do all that we can do to help the little ones. In Mark chapter 7, Mark's account of this story brings out an interesting point. For one thing, it's interesting that this story made more than one gospel. But look at how Mark described it. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. So she heard about Jesus. She knew that Jesus was doing something in this region. And what is it that she heard? Well, we go to another gospel for this one. And this is actually Luke. A large crowd of his disciples were there. A great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon. Remember that? That's what we just talked about. Sidon. We just talked about that region. Who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured. That text out of Luke tells us that he had already been there and was already working. And those with impure spirits were being healed. She heard that. She found out about it. She had done her research. She had talked to the doctor, or she had Googled it, or she had whatever you had to do to find the answers. She was looking for the answers. And so she heard that Jesus was the answer. And when she found out that Jesus was the answer, she comes to Jesus and kneels down and bows down, continues to ask, continues to beg. I would bet for the most part, this daughter had no idea how much effort her mom was expending to be a help to her. Isn't that usually the case? That daughter didn't have a clue how hard mom was working to take care of her. And I'll bet that's usually the case for most of us. Often kids have no idea how helpful their moms really are, maybe until they get in their 20s and 30s. All of a sudden, mom's not quite so handy right there on the spot to be of so much help, and they realize all that mom has done. A mother's heart is helpful. This lady is doing all she can do to take care of her child. A mother's heart is also persistent. Did you get a sense of that already? She began to bow down, which means she continued to do so. In verse 26, he answered and said, "It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." And she said, "I get that, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from the master's table." This woman did not take no for an answer. A buddy of mine put this meme on Facebook just yesterday. And it seems so timely. Notice that a river cuts through rock, not because of its power, but because of its persistence. This mother showed that kind of persistence. A mother's heart will not give up on her child. A mother's heart is persistent. She's going to continue to work at it. Here she keeps asking and asking and asking so much that the disciples tell Jesus, "Jesus, make her go away. She won't shut up. She's driving us nuts. Get her out of here." She continues and continues and continues. Finally, Jesus responds and says, "Look, I came for the children of God. It's not right to take food and give it to the dog when that food is intended for the child." Now, don't be too offended, because there are two words for dog. And one means that nasty, flea-bitten, mangy dog that just runs all over town. Doesn't really belong to anybody. Just messes up everybody's trash. That's one word for dog. The other word for dog is a family pet, a loved lap dog. The word he uses for dog in this case is that second word. He's not saying you're a mangy mutt. He's saying, "I came for the children. It doesn't make sense to feed the family pet before you feed the children." Now, I kind of understand. Have you met Princess? Princess. She has lived up to her name. Princess is a Bichon Frise. Can't even say it manly. I looked it up one time to find out what that is. Bichon Frise. It's French. It means cute and worthless. But she is our princess. She is our sweet little furry. I can't call her a daughter. She's our sweet furry little family member. And we love her. But you know, we are not, all the years we've had her, never once did I cook her a steak and let Ashley go hungry. Never once did we make a hot hamburger or a hot dog for Princess and fail to feed Ashley. By the way, did you know Ashley graduated from TCU yesterday? Magna cum laude. I'm going to look that up later and tell you what that means some other time. What we did was we fed the child. Then if there was something left over, or if Mama cooked extra on purpose, then we fed the dog. That's what Jesus is saying. I came for the children of God. I came for Israel. It's not right for me to give the dog what is intended for the children. And she could have said, that makes all the sense in the world. Thank you for your time. But she came back and she said, I get that, but I'm not asking for the children's meal. I'm just asking for a crumb that might fall from the children's table. She says, I know that you are so amazingly powerful. As the God of gods, you're the Messiah. And all I'm asking for is just one little crumb. Almost like that lady who just reached out to touch the hem of his garment. Just one little piece would be enough. She says, I'm not asking for the meal. I just want one little small thing that to you is so insignificant because you're all powerful. And when he sees that, and when he hears that, he says, lady, you got faith. There's persistence. And that takes us to the next part. The mother's heart is full of faith. He says, you get it. In verse 28, Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, your faith is great. Be it done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed at once. Your faith is great. What did he tell the disciples? Oh, ye of little faith. The disciples? The 12? Oh, ye of little faith. What did he tell this Canaanite woman? Man, you got great faith. You know, he's only said that twice in all of the New Testament. He only says it two times. Jesus tells somebody, you have great faith. The first time was the centurion. Not a Jew, not a believer, a centurion. And he says to that guy came begging for the health of his servant. And he said to him, you have great faith. So I wanted to look at the centurion and the Canaanite woman and figure out what was it that made him say to them, you have great faith, and to do what they were asking. And I noticed a couple of similarities. The centurion said, I am not worthy for you to come to my house. Just give a command and I know it'll be done. I'm not worthy to have you step foot in my living room, but I know you don't have to come. If you just say the word, I know it'll happen. And now the Canaanite woman says, Lord, I'm just a dog, not one of your children. I understand that, but what would be just a table scrap to others is more than enough for you to heal my daughter. And in those two statements, I noticed two things. They understood who they were, and they recognized who he was. They understood who they were, and they came to him saying, I am undeserving, I am unable, and I am unworthy. But as this undeserving, unable, and unworthy person, I come to you recognizing that you are the Lord, you are God Almighty, and you are able to do what needs to be done. And in both cases, he says, you're full of faith, and the one you love is healed. Can't think of a better place for us to end our discussion and to leave with this on our minds the rest of the week. That she says, I'm undeserving, unworthy, unable. But you're God, and you're able to do it all. Full of faith. I wonder this week how many of us are going to find ourselves in a situation where we need to remember who we are and recognize him for who he is. My guess is that sometime this week, perhaps sometime this day, you're going to need to go to him and say, I know I'm undeserving. I know I'm unworthy. And I'm unable. But you're God Almighty. I know you're able and I need you. Do you have what it takes within to be like this mom? And to say that to an Almighty God? I need you. Father God, we pray that this week, you would help us learn from this mother's example that our hearts too might be full of faith. Regardless of the circumstances in which we find ourselves or what we face in the days ahead, that we know we have a loving Heavenly Father who loves us even more than the perfect mother's love. And because of that, we can depend on you. God, forgive us when we take you for granted. Forgive us when we fail to depend on you. Forgive us when we forget who we are or we fail to acknowledge who you are. Let this week be different. This week, help us that we might acknowledge our need and that we might declare your ability. For we pray it in Jesus' name.